honoring and worshiping to God. And then the key words are connect. And we really are making diligent effort to help you connect with other believers. That's why we do these connect groups. And I want to encourage you. You might say, he doesn't mean me, but I do. I mean you. You need to make an effort to connect at a connect group, because that's where believers are in each other's homes, encouraging one another and being the body of Christ. Another word is grow. And we're trying to come up with ways to help you develop your spiritual life and your walk with the Lord. Last week, many of you went through and filled out these sheets and said, I want to know about upcoming discipleship classes. And many of you have already been contacted. We're making a list, and we'll be contacting you because we're going to partner with you so you can grow closer to Jesus. All right. Another word that we're using is the word serve. And there's many opportunities we have for you to serve in ministry. And I'm excited about the response. There's a great handful of people that said, I'd like to understand what my gifts are. And learn how I can serve so I can be fruitful when I do ministry. And so I can be fulfilled when I do ministry. So we have you on a list. A lot of you have already been contacted and aware of that. The rest of you will be contacted this week. And then we'll follow up with that. And Pastor Kelly doesn't know all the details of this or not, but conceptually she does. Those names are going to be given to her, and she's going to follow up with you and really work with you. And then another opportunity that we have is to go. You know, it's not enough to sit here and to feel good, but we have an assignment, don't we? The assignment to take the message that Jesus saves to a world that does not know who he is. So that's what our strategy is. And you might have a question, well, why is that? Why are we developing some strategic approach to ministry? And here's the reason why. It's because Jesus came to this earth for a reason. And he's passing that reason on to you and to me. Here's some of the reasons that Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. He came for other people. Jesus came to this earth to give us abundant life. So we don't have to stand around and feel defeated and overlooked. We can live an abundant, powerful life through the power of his Holy Spirit. Jesus came to this earth to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. That's why Jesus came. See, Jesus came and he died on a cross for our sins. But what's amazing about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is he defeated death. He cheated death. Jesus has risen from the dead. The cross, I want you to look at this cross behind me. The cross is no longer a symbol of a torturous death. The cross is a symbol of victory for the Christian through Jesus Christ. It's a symbol of victory. Not because it's wood, but because it has been defeated. What brought death has been cheated. So our strategy at Pathway Church is to fulfill these reasons that Jesus came to earth and to afford an opportunity for people to be spared from the punishment of their sin. The church is to share the good news that simply Jesus saves. Specifically, you can read it at the bottom of this slide. We are equipping everyday people, that's us, to serve others. One of the reasons Jesus came. And lead our community to passionately follow Jesus. See, we are here to love Christ and to fulfill this mission that he's given us to do, to share the love of Christ. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to open up to the first gospel, Matthew's gospel. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 21. If you're unfamiliar with how the Bible is divided, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. Matthew's the first book in the New Testament. You can kind of go there. If you're really lost, you can look at the table of contents in the front. But we're going to look at a passage of Scripture here, Matthew 21, starting with verse 1. By the way, did you hear the language that I just used when I was explaining where this book of the Bible is? That's because I'm preparing you to make it comfortable when you bring people that don't know him. Like, we're going to treat them with respect. Okay, we're going to do it right. So just get used to that, because there's going to be people here that don't know. And that's what it's all about. Okay? Now you're there probably, Matthew chapter 21. Let's start reading with verse 1. As they all approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage. It was on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent out two disciples. He said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you get there, you will find a donkey tied up. Her colt will be with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them. The owner will send them right away." This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet would come true. It says, "See," or "Say to the city of Zion, see, your king will come to you. He is gentle, riding on a donkey." He's riding on a donkey's colt. It's from the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah. I'm at verse 6 if you're following along. The disciples went and did what Jesus told them. It's a good principle to live by. Verse 7. They brought the donkey and the colt. They placed their coats on them. Then Jesus sat on the coats. A very large crowd spread their coats on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Some of the people went ahead of him, and some followed. They all shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. The people asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus. He's the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." That's the text for today. You can kind of bookmark that if you want to read some of that again later today or this week. But this is one of the unique few places in the Gospels that the glory of Jesus is recognized on earth. It's an interesting concept. Jesus boldly declares himself as the king. And the crowd on earth was in agreement. They recognized that. But these same people would stop that approach. They would cave in to political pressure. And they would end up deserting Jesus. They would cave into the situations around them and the circumstances and the peer pressure. And they move from a place where they're shouting, "You're blessed, Hosanna." And they raise the other arm and they're shouting, "Crucify him." In 5 days or so, that changed. Today we celebrate, which is the name of this message, celebrate. We celebrate this event, Palm Sunday, but it should be a reminder to us to guard against a superficial acclaim to Christ. I don't want to be the people that show up on Sunday shouting Hosanna, and if our actions were words, we're shouting crucify him the rest of the week. We can't afford to live like that. I don't want you to be like that crowd that behaved like that. I don't want you to be like Peter, who's, "I'll never deny you." And 3 times, what did he do? Denied Christ. I want you to truly honor God no matter the situation you face and no matter the circumstance. I look at these phrases that are in our text. Words like Hosanna or the phrase, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." These words signify a recognition that he saves us. It actually refers to the Psalms. I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but Psalm 118, if you want to jot that down, for those of you that are looking for opportunities to dig a little deeper, you can jot this down in the column, Psalm 118, and provide yourself some study. But that's where it talks about the Messiah being prophesied as like the head stone. But the builders refused him. But now his loyal followers celebrate and rejoice, and they recognize him for who he is. Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26 says this, "Lord, save us. Lord, give us success." Now look at the words. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. From the temple of the Lord, we bless you." These words of blessing, is this where this comes from. They were reiterating scripture. You are blessed. Let you have success. You are blessed. You're doing it right, and we see it That's what they're saying. We're in support. We're behind you. You are blessed. You're the one. You're the king. Hosanna, here it is. I believe in you. Do you get it? It's not a song. It's not just some cute story we say once a year. This is a group of people that was getting behind Jesus when he was on earth. These hosannas are blessings. They're saying, we welcome your kingdom. Do you get it? He's coming in as a king. We welcome your kingdom. It was foretold that all nations should call him blessed. Do you remember Psalm 72, verse 17? May the king's name be remembered forever. May his fame last as long as the sun shines. All nations will be blessed because of him, and they will call him blessed. And that's what's happening. They're living out the scripture, and they're saying, aha, he's the one. First of all, Jesus Christ comes in the name of the Lord, and it's a statement that he is our sanctifier. And he's the one that mediates between to the Father for us on our behalf. But these hosannas are not just welcoming his kingdom. They're saying, we wish you well. Blessed, you're blessed. We wish you well. They were celebrating. They were having a good time. They were living in joy. They were showing support and supporting the leadership of their king. We too need to celebrate Jesus. We need to celebrate the reasons that he came. We need to celebrate, the fact that people are saved. Today, one of the folks in this room that I've tried not to point out to you by name received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I know one is my 5-year-old son, but that's two people in this church in 2 days. Why not lead our kids to the Lord? Why not lead someone who's sitting right here to the Lord? If we're not careful, we're going to leave our seats and start doing it out there. That's what it's about, isn't it? That's awesome. We need to celebrate the reasons he came. Celebrate that he came and he's coming again soon to take his church to be with him. Celebrate the fact that he died for every man and every woman once for all mankind. Celebrate that he is risen, that he is king, King of Kings. Celebrate him. Now we know he is risen and he is the Son of God. They added Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, declaring prosperity in the highest degree. And all of this was happening, and the people looked and they said, who is this? Now, I have not written my own version of the Bible, but if I wrote one, I would have said this. Who in the world is that? I mean, think about what they're thinking. Who is this? They're celebrating a king riding on a donkey. People are in front. People are behind. They're throwing their cloaks on the ground. Their branches. What is going on? Get the picture? A parade's coming into town. And it caught the town's attention. Let's reread verses 10 and 11. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Interesting. The people asked, who is this? And the crowd answered, this is Jesus. He's the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now they were right in calling him a prophet. He was that great prophet. He had been known at that time as a prophet because of his teaching and his working of miracles. But they also recognized him here as king. But there's something significant here, and I don't want to get lost in the teaching of this, another study point. When they said he was Jesus of Nazareth, they were missing something. He wasn't born in Nazareth. He had lived there. And really, if they would have put all of this together, and I'm not teaching on this today, but that would have disqualified him from being that king. So they're celebrating on one hand, but they were missing something. And here's my point. Sometimes we come into a church and we celebrate, but we don't quite have it all together. And it makes it easy to walk away. This Jesus from Nazareth ended up becoming a stumbling block. If he was from Nazareth, he could not be the Messiah. He was not born there, even though he lived there. And ultimately, on the cross, he was humiliated with a sign. Anyone remember what the sign said? Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Misunderstanding who Jesus truly was is what caused them to go from celebration and the shouting of Hosanna to a crowd that was saying, kill him and crucify him. They missed who he was. Christianity is not the experience of joy. It's knowing who Jesus is. Let's not miss the point of the story. After that celebration and that parade, you'll read it this week if you read the devotions, but Jesus' authority was challenged. He was misunderstood. He was arrested. He was betrayed. He was abandoned. He was humiliated. He was put on trial, and he was chosen to be executed instead of a criminal named Barabbas. In 1 week, the celebration turned into a political rally that resulted in Christ being executed. 1 week, they left it all. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Instead, he made himself nothing. He took on him the nature of a servant. He was made in human form. He appeared as a man. He came down to the lowest level. He obeyed God completely, even though it led to his death. In fact, it led to his death on the cross. If you want further study, you need to take home and read verses 9 and 10 and watch the celebration. But Jesus was humiliated to a death on a cross. See, a lesson we learn from this Palm Sunday celebration is to guard against the pressure of others. To guard against the pressure of situations and circumstances. To be on guard. We are to praise God in the good times, and we are to praise God in the bad times, because we don't need to be the body that moves from Hosanna to crucify him. We can live in the Hosanna realm. That's where we can live. I'm going to give you 3 points that are kind of extra credit for you. We are not Christians, number one, for the sake of other people. That's not why we are Christians. Some of this might be on the screens, I think. Did I give you this? It looks like I did. Oh, yes, awesome. We are not Christians for the sake of others. See, Christianity, listen to me carefully for a moment, is not about impressing other people. Christianity is not about another platform for us to increase influence. You know, there are prominent Christian leaders who are famous, and yet they're out of line. People blindly follow those leaders, and these leaders have confused Christianity with an opportunity to gain notoriety and influence. Being a Christian leader is still never about you as the leader. It's always about Jesus. But people are exploiting. Without being famous and having a mass influence, we, the church, can be guilty of the same behavior. So a lesson that we learn from this Palm Sunday story is don't use Christianity to impress others and create leverage to manipulate influence. That's a pretty strong statement to make on a celebration Sunday. But when we make it about us, we're missing the whole point. Number two, if you'll go to the next slide, not only we are not Christians for the sake of others, but listen to this, we are not Christians for our sake alone. You might scratch your head a little bit. Let me talk about this. We're not Christians for our sake alone. There are two perspectives to consider when becoming a follower of Jesus. One, we are saved from eternal punishment of our sins. That's how it is for us. He has forgiven us, and we are no longer bound to eternal death, but we are destined to eternal life. But secondly, it's not about our sake alone. We have an assignment to share the good news about Jesus with the entire world. And when we sit and we keep it, we're missing the boat. I need to make it Sunday to Sunday to just survive. Well, that's as good as it's going to get for you. And then you're going to miss half the reason that we're Christians to begin with. So it's not for our sake alone. A lesson we learn in this Palm Sunday is Christianity is not about me. Christianity is about honoring God and reaching out to others. The third thing, we are not Christians for the sake of others. This will be on the next slide. And we are not Christians for our sake alone, but we are Christians for the glory of God. We're Christians for the glory of God. Christians are here to recognize Jesus as King and Lord and Savior. And so other people can recognize Him as King, Lord, and Savior through our life. That's why we have to be Hosanna shouters. Because the moment we stop focusing on Jesus and we take our eyes off that and we start promoting ourselves or only taking care of ourselves, we're on the road to join the crowd on Friday that shouts, "Crucify Him." I want you to guard against this. I want you to watch. The enemy is sneaky. He doesn't like us. He's real. And he wants you to fall and to fail. But we need to start shouting Hosanna. We support you, Jesus. We're behind you, Jesus. You've given us an assignment, and I am in. I might be before you, I might be behind you, but I'm laying it all on the ground for you. And I want you to use my life. You're blessed. You're successful. You're the King. You're the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna. Do you feel that? That's what this Christian faith is about. Listen to this. Jesus was worshipped as a baby when he came into earth. Jesus was worshipped and honored when he came into Jerusalem a week before his crucifixion. Jesus was worshipped when he rose from the dead. And Jesus will be worshipped even now on earth by believers. And one day we will spend eternity worshipping him. It all starts and it all ends there. Why are we so distracted by the things of the world? Romans chapter 8. I think the Holy Spirit utilized Pastor Matt to refer to a verse. I'll read it. I'll start with verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Listen to these words carefully. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Say those words. No one. Christ did not come to condemn you, but to save you. Listen. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? It's written, for your sake we face death all day long. The circumstances are bad. The situation is bad. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. It's a bad day. But verse 37, no, doesn't matter about that. In all things, listen, oh, this is going to get exciting. All right? In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing! So you might say, my circumstances are bad, and the whole crowd says, crucify him, but nothing needs to separate you. Jesus is the winner. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. Do you realize if you live for 72 years and you have a bad 72 years, it means nothing in light of eternity? I don't know why we have bad lives sometimes. I don't know why we lose our jobs. I don't know why people are going hungry. But I know one thing, eternity's at stake, and we need to honor Jesus. We need to be the church. Eternity's at stake. I'm all for social ministries. I'm all for feeding the poor. It's what makes us Christians. It talks about it in the Bible. But we've got to give them Jesus. Told you I was growing closer to him. Jesus will be worshiped when he returns. We're going to spend eternity doing that. So a lesson we learn, this is the third lesson if you've taken notes, from the Palm Sunday story is Christianity is about glorifying God. So what do we do? Remember 25 minutes ago when I told you it was 11:15? It's 11:40. We're wrapping this up. You guys have been good listeners. But it's not about just hearing it. It's about doing it. So I'm going to give you some things to carry out. Can we do that? You want to walk this out? Live for the glory of God. Live for the glory of God. What does that mean? Make a commitment. Do not be distracted by the world. How do you live that out? Here's how. When something comes your way, ask this question. Is this the world distracting me? That's a good question. You're bright. You'll be able to recognize that. We're just not asking the question. It'll be so obvious to you. My goodness, this is the world distracting me. I'm stronger than that. I'm anointed. Don't be distracted by others. How do I measure that? Here's a good way. Is this someone trying to distract me? They're even a Christian. Don't be distracted by situations or circumstances. What do? You stay focused on the Lord. Okay? So those are conceptual steps. Here's some specific actions that you can take. And you might say, Pastor, are you trying to make us do some things? I am trying to lead you to do some things. I'll say it like that, because I believe this is what God's doing in our church. I'm not here to build a program. I'm not here to have the largest church in town, but I am here to give the message of Christ to a lost and dying world, and we need you to be on board. We need it. We just need to work together. I'm going to talk about Frank Vossler for one moment. Last week, Frank was in prayer, and he made a comment. We were talking about what God was doing. Here's what he said. I've been reading these books that Brother Alton Garrison wrote, and it's helping me understand you a little better. Well, that's good. Because we're saying some of the same things. And you know what he said? Tell us the vision again. And he looked around the room, and he said, because we need to get behind it. That's a good word. We need to get behind what God's doing. It's not me. It's not you. It's what God's doing here. So here's some action steps. If you want to write these down, or this will probably be online this week, you can listen to it. Develop some spiritual disciplines, and here they are. Here's some things that you can apply or do or put into practice right now. Make a commitment to join a team of people at 9 in the morning on Sunday and pray. Today's prayer, I thought, was incredibly powerful. It was a great time. Make the commitment to pray together. Here's another one, and it's simple. Make a commitment to do the devotional this Passion Week. I've given it to you in writing. Here's what I'm doing. I want you to grow, so I'm giving you stuff in writing. I'll put it on the internet. You want me to call you? Let me know. I'll give you a phone call. I want to give you a tool to grow closer to God. Here's something else, and this is important, and I'm not trying to build a program, but join a connect group. Sit in a home with another believer and let yourself be prayed for. And pray for someone else. Read the Bible together. Here's something else you could do. Jump in a discipleship class. Some of you have said, let me know when they are, and we're going to do that for you, and you're going to respond. Here's another one. Discover your spiritual gift. Wave your hand. Pastor Kelly, actually, can you stand up? Song and dance? I'm just kidding. Right arm, left arm? Anyway, she is giving her time. Primarily, her number one focus right now is to help you know your gift so you can serve. Thank you. She's arranging her schedule to do this. Like, we're doing this on purpose, and we want to help you in every way we can. And here's a practical one, and this is somewhat a reason to recruit, but higher priority, it's a reason to give you a chance to go, is we need you to volunteer next Saturday for the Easter Fun Fest. This is not a guilt trip. This is not saying, oh, just volunteer so we can do our thing. It's volunteer so you can be what God's asking you to be. It's important. So there was A, B, C, D, E. There are 6 examples I just gave. If you missed them, get the recording. Ask a person taking notes. But I want to give us a chance to glorify God together. If Pastor Matt would come with a team of musicians, and I want you to find a song that we can sing, do me a favor. Try to find a song that you think we're going to know the words to, that we don't have to necessarily rely on the screen, because I want to sing some words out loud. Okay? I mean, if you don't know where to go, you can do that last song we did, whatever. But we're going to sing together. Together. Did you hear that word? We're going to sing together. Listen, why do we do all this? And what happens if we do this? We will fulfill a reason that we were created. Eternity is at stake. And that's what it's really all about. Your response to the Lord in these practical areas will change someone else's eternity. You know what God's waiting on? He's waiting on us to be together. We're worshiping, we're connecting, growing, serving, and going, but we need to do it together. We need simultaneously, in cooperation, in one accord, in harmony. We don't all need to look and act exactly the same or do the same ministry, but we need to be in harmony with one another. That's why I want to sing together. Our statement today, and I don't know how you'll respond, from that prayer time to the devotional to a connect group to serving at the fun fest, whatever that is for you, whatever your response is, you can respond how God leads you to do. But I want to do something together. I want to sing together as a statement to our God that we are together, a united body of believers ready for you to move. Can we do that? Would you stand to your feet? What song are we going to do? Here I Am to Worship. You guys know that song? You should know that song. I want you to sing this together. If you have the ability to remain here for the remainder of this course, it'll take 3 minutes. I want you to stay, and I want you to use your voice, and I want you to sing it. Here we are. We are here for the glory of God. So let's sing it as He leads us together.
To bow down, say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, me. Here I am to bow down. Say that, God, thank you, Lord.
Sing it through again, please. Here we are.
And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. We're all together lovely.
And you'll never know. Sing those words.
And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin up on that.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'll never know how much.
Sing those words again. I'll never know how much it cost.
And I'll never know how much it cost my sin up on that cross.
Oh, let's sing the chorus one more time. Here I am to worship.
And here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down.
Yes.
Say that You're my God.
One last time, use the words and sing it.
And here I am to worship.
Lord, I pray that as a church, you would see our heart even this morning. That we're the crowd shouting, Hosanna. Blessed be your name. We're in. We support you and we'll do what you're asking us to do. Lord, that we would trust you with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. But we will live for you and for the glory of the Lord. And we will utilize our relationship with you for the purpose of bringing you glory. Lord, I pray that this week you would bring us closer to you. I pray for next Saturday that we would connect with people in our community that are looking for a relationship with Jesus. They may not even realize it. Do a mighty work in our midst. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a joy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You are blessed and you are children of the Most High. Have a wonderful day in the presence of the Lord.